Hello, welcome to episode 38 of Ring Takes here. Of course, I'm joined by Brian and Lewis. I'm your host, Daniel Daly. This one, we're going to be talking about WWE Premiere Week, which was the premiere of SmackDown and Raw, and a little bit of Jade Cargill making appearances on each show. We're going to get into that, but let's get right into it. Roman Reigns returning to SmackDown after what? It's been like, I think since that Bray Wyatt tribute show that he hasn't really been on. It's been a while since he's been on. So to finally have him back, they kicked off the show with John Cena coming out. Basically, an interaction between him and Roman. The pops for both of these guys were crazy. Just showing the star power, all these guys. Basically, kind of alluding to each other, a little bit alluding to crushing my John Cena trope of him being the greatest of all time and going to get that title opportunity. That was dashed because after John Cena said he hasn't earned the right to square off against Roman Reigns, which I was like, okay, that's good, especially for John Cena where he's at. I thought they were going in that direction where he's going to get a title match. It looks like they're pushing towards the biggest megastar on SmackDown, basically in the business right now, LA Knight, coming out to a huge pop. And to finally we get that interaction with Roman Reigns and LA Knight. What do you guys think about that?
It's too soon. That's the first thought that went to my head when LA Knight came out. I mean, this we all know, like Daniel said, that LA Knight, he is the hottest superstar on the roster right now. I mean, the crowd loves him. They love his charisma and his personality and such. So, you know, he's definitely captivating the audience. But I felt like he has that he hasn't had the feuds yet and been built up enough to finally go up against Roman now. Now, if the thinking is okay, he's hot now. Let's ride this wave of momentum and let's give him the top heel. If that's the plan, okay. But I just feel as though that I feel like we should have seen like at least one more solid feud with him and a very good heel before we got here with Roman Reigns. But it's always good. But it's always good whenever they have somebody who's perceived as a hot superstar and they actually like pulled the trigger. I mean, there's been plenty of guys in the past that have had momentum similar to LA Knight's, whereas in WWE didn't pull the trigger and didn't put them in a major feud, and then a couple months went by, and then that momentum slowly started to dissipate. But you can definitely see with LA Knight that they believe in him, and I don't see why not, because literally since he became LA Knight again, the character really hasn't changed. Only his opponents have. So you can tell by that point he's gonna stay hot. But I just felt that he needed one more feud after his feud with the Miz to kind of further establish himself before we get to Roman Reigns.
But I thought the Miz was a Hall of Famer. I thought he was a push in the right direction type guy.
He is. No, he is. No, he is. He's the right guy. But I just and I was and I wasn't good. And I said from the beginning when LA Knight and the Miz matched up, I said this is a warm up feud for LA Knight, and this is the perfect opponent for him because the Miz is your ultimate heel. So therefore, LA Knight will still stay.
But why is it too soon if he beat a Hall of Famer and a guy like the Miz who gets people over?
Why is it still too soon? Because
it shouldn't be too soon. He beat a Hall of Famer. That was enough, right?
Like he beat the Miz. Okay. First of all, who said the Miz was a Hall of Famer? Were those his words?
You know, he's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I said he was a great top heel. Now, as far as Hall of Famer goes, he may get in. He may not get in.
You can't.
He's first ballot.
I was the one
saying that after his feud with Miz that he should be going after Gunther in the Continental title, LA Knight. That's what I thought should have been the next step, and he should have been the one to dethrone Gunther, seeing as now that Gunther has broken the record. So I just felt that he needed one more feud before Roman. That's all.
All right. If he beat the Hall of Famer like the Miz, that should have been enough, right? That should have been enough. You guys told me that The Miz was great, and that was the point of that whole feud. And then all of a sudden, it's too soon. I don't want to.
We said he was a great starting opponent for him.
This is the perfect time. This is the perfect time for LA Knight.
Don't lump me in there. I believe it's actually a good time to have him go against Rump, only because, and I'm. Now this Dan's gonna probably come after me, but I know that we have to finish the story. There's not with the Rumble.
No, he's not coming at you. Remember, it's about the Rumble. That's the only thing.
That's my only grift with the thing. But I'm sorry. I think it's a great time for him to to be put in that spotlight. And like he said when he talked to Roman, he was like, hey, well, you've been gone. Who's the hottest act right now? Me. And I was even more impressed that John Cena was like, hey, I haven't earned a shot. This guy is hot fire and deserves a title shot. Because it's like, who else is going to go after Roman right now? You know, who's on SmackDown besides Cena?
Nobody.
It's like, I feel like, there isn't really anybody that stands out right now that is either in a feud or just singles or whatever, you know. So I think he's just like, it's at the right moment, right time. And obviously, he's probably going to get screwed because it's Crown Jewel. And I'm sure, either I don't know if this will go to two pay per views or either they'll have a rematch on like a SmackDown or whatever, but. I hope he maybe gets two, kind of like how they did with Shinsuke, because I feel like the more they highlight you in that top spot, the more you're just like going to kind of stick around, even if he does lose. Like, obviously, we know he's not going to win the title right now. And not obviously, hey, anything can ever happen, but obviously, I think we all want to see Cody be the one to dethrone him. And, you know, we got Survivor Series, which if he's in the War Games thing, you know, obviously he's not losing the title there, and then you know we're going to next year with the Rumble and everything. So I think it's a great time to definitely put LA Knight in that spot. He deserves it. And yeah, I think the interaction between him and Roman, it was great going shot for shot. You know, he's a great talker. Roman's a great talker right now. So you know, I think it's smart to put him in that spot right now.
Okay, so question before you go, Daniel, because the main reason why I said that it was too soon was because I feel as though because you say Lewis that he's not going to win the world title, we all agree that he probably won't beat Roman. I just don't want to see his momentum start to dwindle, because once he gets that first loss, he'll still get the same crowd reaction. He'll still have the same catchphrases or anything, but. It'll still be there, depending upon how it's booked. Now, if he gets like screwed outright and like the whole bloodline gets involved, then maybe not so much. But if he gets beat like clean straight up, is he momentum wise? Does he still have that positivity going for him?
Yeah, if he loses clean, I think that's gonna hurt him a lot. But not necessarily.
Roman. It's Roman.
That's literally all it is. It's because it's Roman.
That's why I'm kind of like the clean. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not going to win. Romans wouldn't win clean. But I'm just thinking from the aspect of it's Roman Reigns. Like, it's his LA Knight's first big time at a title. I remember when Stone Cold was coming up. And I think 96. '97. I think he got a shot at The Undertaker, and he lost. Like, that didn't kill his momentum.
Yeah. So,
like, just thinking, of course, I'm not saying LA Knight, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, but I'm just saying the crowd was still always behind them, even when the L's and stuff like that. So I don't think that's going to really affect his character as long as they book it correctly, as always, as long as they don't drift him too far away from the main event, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think the crowd is going to turn on him or go sour against him. I think this is definitely what Lewis was saying. It could lead to hopefully a two pay-per-view match feud between the two, establishing LA Knight as a megastar, well, as a star, main event player, especially going up against Roman. I think that would do good for him. Hopefully leading into the Rumble. I think that's how far they can carry that and then start setting up Cody and Roman at that point in time. But, yeah, LA Knight, he didn't look out of place there when he was standing next to Cena, standing in front of Roman Reigns. He didn't look out of place. And I thought that was the main takeaway from that, is like, he belongs here and there's no question about it. Because I think over the past couple of weeks, we're kind of seeing him talk to other people, talk shit to other people, him be in the ring with certain guys and stuff like that, tagging with John Cena. But now it's like, okay, now he stands with those guys. Like he's reached that level of being in that talk. So I think that, I think that's the biggest takeaway from that segment, coming out of that.
It was hilarious to see that clip of like the reflection in his glasses.
Yeah, that was nice.
I was like, because I saw at first it was Heyman, and then like Roman comes in the eyeglasses. I'm like, oh mm-hmm. shit. Like that is that's good. That's definitely going to be in the promo package. It has to be.
Yeah.
No question about it. But yeah, what do you guys think about, especially with him fighting Solo at the end of the night, wrapping that up, getting the win there against Solo with all the interference going on, and then finally Roman coming in with the spear. So it definitely looks like we're definitely going to get a match between the two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it just solidifies him like, hey, you come for the bull, you get in the horns. And it's like, all right, you win this now. You wanted this, you won't get it. And, you know, now you have to deal with all of the bloodline. I'm still a little iffy with this whole Jimmy thing. You know, I know there's more.
How do you guys also feel about that with Roman Reigns kind of checking Jimmy a little bit now that he's back and stuff like that, kind of telling him don't use heat, like don't do that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Little interactions were funny. I thought that was cool. But what do you guys think about that?
It's just
let me go ahead. My whole thing about it is like, dude, this is the same guy who was the initiator of the first person to actually initially leave the bloodline. Mm-hmm. When he super kicked you, and now here we are months later, and it's almost like you totally forgot about that. And I mean, now he's back, and you didn't. And not once did he allude to anything that previously happened about the title match he had against Jay, and about how Jimmy said, "I don't want you to end up like Roman Reigns," and Roman didn't even confront him about that. Say, well, what did you mean by that? That you didn't want him to end up like me. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing negative I'll take from it, is because, you know, with me and these storylines, there has to be continuity between them. And when you don't have that continuity, sometimes things get confusing. Because I was waiting for Roman to confront him about all of that and ask him, like, why are you back? Why are you here? Why should I accept you back?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was just we already got past all that off camera.
Literally no explanation. It's just like,
I think that was kind of answered a little bit with the phone calls with Paul Heyman, right? Like every single time Jimmy did something, he was on the phone calling Roman Reigns and stuff like that. So if you think of it from that perspective, he has been okaying Jimmy tagging with Solo, hanging around Paul and Solo for the past couple of weeks, almost a month now. So from that standpoint, I can see where it's being addressed a little bit, where Roman's like, all right, we're better to have him than not to have him. And I think that's the person. Even when they had their little interactions backstage, I feel like even though Roman's giving him like, oh, handle those tag titles, handle your brother and stuff like that, he's still using Jimmy to do his bidding a little bit, like still do his bidding. And I feel like that's the place where Roman is going to try to keep him at.
Like, yeah, that makes sense for like Roman to keep him around to
use. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the thought process of why Jimmy is still in the bloodline is the only confusing
part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you said, no, we gotta take him out. Boom, super kick. Then you cost your brother the title. I don't want you to be like him. But I guess, you screwed your brother. And you were like, hey, if you're going to be mad at me, super kick me. And that's exactly what he did. So then like, why are you now like, well, he's gone. I guess I'll just be bad again. took out like a couple weeks ago.
Like, I'm interested to see where it goes. They should have just listened to my booking plan, but hey.
I want to be the tribal chief. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Like, that would have wrote itself. That would have carried you into Survivor Series, and it would have been crazy. But wherever they're going with this, obviously there's some type of interbrand going on, especially with everyone crossing shows. The brand split doesn't matter. As we've come to learn,
only for the tag titles.
Only for the tag titles.
As long as you're interfering on a tag title match, I guess we can transition into that because it all ties together. The Judgment Day tag team chance again. I thought it was a good match beating Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso on Raw, with a little assistance from Jimmy, costing his brother super kicking him, costing them the titles. What do you guys think about that interaction, especially Judgment Day now back on top? Obviously we know it's setting up for War Games. It's definitely going to happen.
But is Jimmy on Raw now because he had a red shirt on?
That's the thing that's throwing me off, right? Because even Jey Uso with his gear, the blue pants, I'm like, what is this going on? Like, what is going on here? Like,
I don't know, man. Yeah, there should be no more mention of any type of brand split, like, or trades, because it doesn't even.
Trades I'm fine with, because we'll talk about it a little later, but trades I'm fine.
To be like, oh, you're exclusive to Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, but it's like, no.
This guy's over here running Ruckshaw.
You guys know how it works. I mean, the Bloodline has immunity. They do whatever, because Roman's been champ for three years. So whenever it's the Bloodline, I'm kind of like, okay, it's whatever. Forget the brands. It's Roman Reigns. So,
yeah.
But as far as the flip flopping of the tag team titles go, I mean, this has been a pattern for the Judgment Day right now as far as the titles go. Because first, Dom lost his NXT North American title Saturday, and then he regained it back on Tuesday. Now we got the tag team titles going through the same situation. It's almost like they're trying to prolong this storyline with the Judgment Day until, like Daniel said, we get to a war game. So it's pretty much going to be a lot of back and forth. They got the title. They'll have the titles, and they'll not have the titles. Maybe another team will step up, or another combination of the people, the baby faces in this feud. I mean, now we'll talk about it, but now Kevin Owens is on SmackDown, so you have to see what role that's gonna play moving forward. But from a future standpoint, I actually like that Cody and Jey aren't tag team champions anymore. And the way that they kind of told the story with Jimmy as the one trying to costing them, I mean, we saw on SmackDown Roman pretty much telling him, "You're like I'm the quarterback. You're the second string. I make the plan. You follow the plan." And obviously, the plan was to keep Jey and Cody off of SmackDown. I mean, you saw the face to face that Cody and Roman had, which I want to say on a side note. Production wise was probably one of the best face to faces I've ever seen because. Mm-hmm. They had Roman's music in the background, and if you listen to Roman's music, like they like switch between camera shots between first they show Roman, then they show Cody, and they're like right on beat with Roman's music, and it's just like you got the biggest baby face, you got the biggest heel, they're gonna collide at some point. So I love that.
And I'm just want to interject here, since he doesn't have the tag titles, how is he gonna get the SmackDown?
He can trade himself.
It's starting to lead literally in that direction. The fact that they had the face-to-face, and they lost the tag team titles. So if you want to see it, you're going to have to see it in another way.
He's got to do is tell Nick, hey, take me. Okay, you can take half of SmackDown's roster.
That's a good
sell. Boom, there's WrestleMania.
That's a good sell of Fox. Hey, we're just going to have two people battle for the belt every week.
Oh, random question. Random question. We had a standoff recently, and I'm trying to remember it, where it wasn't it – was it Judgment Day standing towards it? Wasn't it like Sammy, KO,
Cody and
Jey, Cody – well, that was a standoff, right?
Yeah, that was a standoff.
Do we think? Well, now that Kevin's on Raw, now I guess it's
SmackDown,
whatever. So who do we think is going to be in War Games? Is it going to be a Bloodline? Well, now that the Judgment Day has the titles, what is it going to be? Bloodline versus Judgment Day War Games, or is it going to be, you know, whatever, Sammy?
I think it's going to be a cross Cody, brand.
Jay,
I think it's
and
be a cross brand. Because you have be to, brand? Because you have to, with the Judgment Day, it's going to be Finn, Damian, maybe Dominic, JD. Maybe that's why they're keeping JD McDonough out. Yeah.
Because that's five, right? It's 5-on-5, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think, like, I don't know if Roman's going to be in War Games.
I mean, there were some years they did War Games at NXT 4-on-4. So they have done it before. So they can go 4-on-4. I mean,
I think I'm just trying to understand where, like, this War Game feud.
And then probably have Jimmy and Solo with those three. I don't know. I saw a poster that we're going to talk about it in our next segment, but potentially Drew will join the Judgment Day as the fifth member in the War Games. So that's something that I've been thinking about as well, because I saw the picture and I'm like, it makes sense with all the tea leaves they've been dropping, but to keep it on the bloodline and Jimmy basically doing Roman's bidding, right? Like he told him to handle that. He handled that. Like that's the first thing he's done right.
Yeah.
In the past couple of weeks, right? Ever since.
Yeah. Like,
really messing
I think
up.
I think that's why I asked because I'm like, why would the Judgment Day go against the Bloodline? I'm like, that doesn't really make sense right now. If anything, they would have kind of like worked together to take out Cody.
They've been working together.
Exactly. That's why I'm like that. Like that, unless they teamed up and then they fit, but it's like, who's joining? Unless Cody like goes on this whole like recruiting thing, like, hey, you want to be on my team? Blah blah blah. Like
presidential campaign.
hey, Mr. America, you know. So, going back to the tag titles, it's just like, again, I've been preaching this forever. Just split up these damn titles. We have tag teams, huh?
We did get Pretty Diddly back on SmackDown.
We got the Street Profits.
The Brawling
LWO. We got Alpha Academy.
It looks like they're slowly building it, and I'm like, this should have been already concrete.
Already, we got the New Day. We got DIY is back. We got, it's just like, there's so many tag teams. The teams are there. Yeah, you're leaving them off with all these backstage segments, and then it's literally the same people going after the tag titles.
I feel like they're keeping those tag team titles tied to the Judgment Day and Bloodline to keep that storyline going, to keep some type of intrigue, especially with Roman not really wrestling every week, with Seth not really being involved with them. So I feel like they're trying to keep those tag titles there to keep some type of animosity between the two. We're going after the tag title. Because it isn't like someone's going to go out and then challenge Damian Priest for the Money in the Bank contract. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like they need something to keep them conjoined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. I don't know. It's just that, I don't know. These tag titles have been held to prison over too long. And it's just like, what do they even mean at this point? You know, it's like, are they really the tag titles? Like,
I mean, with all due, I mean, we are getting good matches. You know what I mean?
But like, the same people. Look at it. I mean, you see in the chat.
Long-term booking. LTB. Long-term booking.
Yeah.
Long-term.
Like I said, how many combinations have we gotten of the Judgment Day with Sammy, Jay? Matter of fact, where's that photo that I sent of every combination of every Raw main event for the last 2 months? I've been approved with the same combination.
It's like a three-man, six-man tag with Dominic Mysterio. Tag team match. Tag team. That's what it's been, but I mean,
who's running this? Teddy Long.
Hold on there, players. We're gonna have a
tag team match
with the Undertaker.
For a good 4-year stretch, that was the heel. That was like the ultimate boss.
My God.
That was the ultimate boss. Shout out to Teddy Long.
I love Teddy Long, man.
Legend. Tag team make a match. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they go, because we're obviously leading into Crown Jewel. We're going to see what happens out with that. But it looks like this is bringing up to War Games, and I don't know who's going to be on the teams. It's definitely going to be interesting.
William Regal.
yeah, that's gonna happen. There's just gonna be a big brawl. There's just gonna be a big brawl on Raw, and then all of a sudden you're just gonna see William Regal come out. It's gonna hit. That's all they're doing. Please. They're gonna try to create some type of
Christmas
brawl.
Wish.
They're gonna create some type of brawl. And then that's just going to happen. The music's going to hit. He's going to come out, and he's going to put a little spiel. There's only one way to handle this. War Games. And he's going to say it. We're all going to go crazy. And it's like, yes.
Whenever they do that, I hope they are in the right city. Like, if they're in, like, a hardcore wrestling city, like, just have him come out and don't have him say anything for, like, a good minute.
just
react, because everybody will know what he's about to say. Don't let him say nothing for a minute, and then just pick up the mic and say War Games.
Yeah, he's got to say, you're gonna settle this in War Games.
All I keep thinking about that is how they can set that up, because I remember when they had the 6-man Hell in the Cell WWF title match, and Mick Foley basically saying they're going to be in the Hell in the Cell and stuff like that. If they can build it up to that type of like chaos, and that's the only way to resolve this, it's going to be great.
You know what's funny? When Triple H was talking about the general manager, mm-hmm. and he's like, well, who's going to be running this place? I really thought William Regal was going to come out. I'm like, it's happening! I was going to be so happy. And then it was like, Nicole, I was like,
I guess we can get into
it. I know who this is.
We can talk about that. I guess we can transition to that now.
Segue.
Good segue, Lewis. Good segue. Obviously, we have a new GM of SmackDown. Triple H made his announcement on SmackDown, basically relieving Adam Pearce of having double duty. He's been doing that, and we've all been questioning, who's going to be the GM of SmackDown? Why is he running both shows? What's going on here? What's going to happen?
Never even called the GM.
we finally, he said he did get a promotion, right? He said he did get a promotion as Raw general manager, right? So yeah. We're wondering who it is. And then randomly, no interest music, no nothing, just coming up. He introduces Nick Aldis, obviously, who was in NWA Power, Magnus on Impact, long career, good hand in the ring. It looks like he's transitioning to out of the ring. So to see him in this role here, I like the idea of it, because we've been saying for a long time, we need some type of general manager. We need something to go back and forth to kind of, there has to be some type of authority figure, right? There has to be some type of guy that keeps things in line. And right away, what do you guys think about that? And of course, also Kevin Owens being traded, because even months ago when we first saw Jay on Raw, Adam Pearce went to Kevin Owens and said, hey, we need to talk. That was like 2 months ago.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah. So
to finally see that finally play out on TV, it's interesting to see how that plays out. And it's just Kevin Owens is now on SmackDown, finally traded. And that's just another thing, because we didn't really hear Kevin Owens really talk or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's going to be interesting to see if he appoints, like how he explains how long he knew, right? Like how long he knew about this trade happening and how that affected him. But what do you guys think about that? Nick Aldis as the new general manager of SmackDown and Kevin Owens being traded, finally officially being traded.
Well, as far as Nick Aldis goes, I'll start with that. I know, obviously, I mean, WWE fans watch WWE. They don't watch any other wrestling program. Really, I mean, you have groups of fans like us who watch a myriad of programs, but WWE fans watch WWE, so that's kind of obviously why Nick Aldis got the reaction he did, which really wasn't much of a reaction. I know some people complained online about like, oh, they could have introduced him better, they could have did this, they could have done that. But the point is, this is the first time that Nick Aldis was introduced to the WWE audience, and a lot of those people didn't watch him in NWA, they didn't watch him in Impact, so he's brand spanking new. Now, if he's gonna the way he looks, I know for a fact that he can still go in the ring. And if they're using this kind of
big,
and if they're kind of like using this GM role for like a year or two or however long for him to get familiar with the audience to get familiar with him, to the point where then he has to get back into the ring. I'm looking forward to it because I think his wife Mickie James, mm-hmm. she was on a podcast recently talking about how proud she is of him and everything, and she did say he still has a little bit left in the ring. So his career is not over. So they want to use this GM role to kind of segue into that. I'm all for it. As far as Kevin Owens go, like you mentioned, Daniel, I didn't even know that. Forgot about 2 months ago that Kevin Owens had spoken with Adam Pearce. So I wonder if that is going to be a part of the story that I've known for a long time. Because Sami Zayn had a backstage segment with Jey Uso on Raw, where he pretty much was complaining to Jey, like, "Yeah, Kevin Owens isn't here right now because of you." And so you have to wonder if they're gonna allude back to that with Kevin Owens. Now, as far as Kevin Owens being the person that got traded, I really hope we're not going back to this Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline storyline as a result of this.
Sorry to break it to you.
They had a feud during the pandemic, which was good. I remember those pandemic episodes in the Thunderdome when they had a feud. They just had a feud last year, which was the strong point of the Bloodline storyline when the storyline was at its apex. There is absolutely nothing else you can do between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. I don't me personally.
Redemption.
There's no more story to tell unless he's going to be the one to beat Roman. That's not going to happen. Other than that, there's no more story to tell. So
I'm just going to say this: he fought Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble twice, and those matches were epic.
Daniel, correction. He's actually fought Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble three times. He fought him, I believe it was in 2017 when he was Universal Champion. He fought him, and then what Lewis is describing, and then last year with Sami Zayn in the chair shot. So he's actually faced him three times at the Rumble.
Maybe it's like Roman versus Brock. Maybe the fourth time is the charm. Maybe.
And after LA Knight. Even if Kevin Owens is the new challenger, like I said, well, how do you book that? Because you've basically done every and anything between Kevin and Roman. There's nothing else you can do.
He's been a thorn in their side for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
And he can't get rid of Kevin. He just can't, right? Like, and they did play on to that with the segment with that. They did show Roman Reigns pissed that he's there. So it's like, obviously, I love how they use Roman Reigns on Friday, because they're showing him all the tea leaves of him with Jimmy, him still going after Jay, him acknowledging LA Knight, him acknowledging that Kevin Owens is a problem. Like, all these little things coming together, and it's like, I just love it. I just love how they're using Roman Reigns to kind of like branch the rest of the roster, right? Especially for SmackDown, that was kind of lost in translation, right? Like, SmackDown was kind of directionless without him there. So to have him back, he's kind of tying all these leaves together, tying all these loose ends together. So it's like, I like it from that standpoint. I hope Kevin Owens doesn't just get lost in the shuffle. I don't know where he fits exactly, other than probably fighting the Bloodline, right? Like, I don't know which direction he goes. Does he go after the United States title again? I don't know if he's going to be in the main event player spot. He should be, in my eyes and in my opinion, but it's just like, I don't know what direction they're going to use him. So it should be interesting to see what direction. Do you guys think that he's going to get another shot at the title? I mean, SmackDown doesn't really have anybody else other than LA Knight and potentially John Cena, right? So like, what do you guys think? Like, what do you, I think he, in my eyes, I think he should get at least another title shot. Maybe again, the Rumble's right there.
that might be number four.
I'm just saying they did fight. The Thunderdome was in Tampa.
Maybe the fourth time for
Kevin Owens, man.
All right, so it's obvious that they're gonna put him in one more title match with Roman.
Yeah.
My only hope is obviously Kevin is not gonna win, but if he does lose, let the reason he loses be his next feud. Like let's get like a top
solo.
For instance, stay with me. What if Lashley got involved and cost Kevin Owens the title? I would love to see a Kevin Owens and Bobby Lashley feud. That would be entertaining for me. To see something like that.
And especially if Bobby Lashley's not going to be in the title picture, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know, why would he help Roman?
It might not be to help Roman. It might just be to go after KO.
Yeah, he needs a reason. He needs a reason.
I mean, Lashley's technically a heel, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he could just be an asshole. Yeah,
he's actually a heel. Yeah. I mean,
I could see Kevin being used for like a triple threat match. Or, yeah, I think honestly, if after LA Knight, he could easily be, yeah, or it could be like him and Cena versus Roman in a triple threat or some shit like that, like either at like Elimination Chamber or the Rumble or whatever the hell it might be. But he's definitely going to be another feud for Roman before Mania, for sure.
The Thunderdome was in Tampa. Just bring it full circle, man. And I was so mad during that match because I wanted Kevin Owens to win so bad in that match because I thought they were setting it up. I'm like, he's gonna win, and then all of a sudden,
here come the Usos, and you're like, no.
Paul Heyman couldn't get the handcuffs.
The handcuffs, I hated that. I was so mad when that happened.
Yeah, I was so mad.
But
the way they set it up, I'm like, Kevin, no, he did it. They did it perfectly, and then they just screwed him. But
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how this authority figure is, Nick Aldis.
Holds
as well. So I like Nick Aldis being introduced there because even with Adam Pearce, they both technically former wrestlers, right? Like Adam Pearce was on the indie scene for a long time. Nick Aldis, same thing. NWA, Impact, and stuff like that. So these guys can take a hit. And I feel like that's probably where they're going to play into that. Like these guys can handle themselves at least a little bit there. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Kevin Owens on SmackDown. I love that. Hopefully, I love it depending on how they utilize him. Hopefully, he's just not going around the carousel of SmackDown and actually has a direction that he goes through. So it's going to be
interesting. I guarantee that he's going to end up getting a match because even in that suit, this man was buff fucking
looking. No, he has to get it. He has to do something like
yeah. He looked like he was about to rip off that just get in the ring. I'm not too familiar with Nick Aldis. I've obviously heard you know he was a big name in like Impact and what is it, MLW or no, it was
NWA.
Yeah, I think he was like their big like champ for a while.
He was.
I know he was like a big deal out there. So for them to bring him in, it looks in great shape. I guarantee he's gonna end up in some type of feud. And hey, if he gets another run, good for him. You know, we'll get to see, you know, why he was such a big name and everything, you know, and on a bigger stage. But yeah, the Kevin Owens, I'm definitely down for another Kevin Owens title run. Not sure it's gonna happen.
At least not until after Mania.
Exactly.
But if he wins,
versus Cody would be a banger. I think that would be great, especially if we got like heel Owens. Like I feel like that would be
That would be crazy.
I'm honestly happy that they're separated because I'm like, hey, this gives Sammy some like motivation to finally go after the title. Same for him. It's just like they've been tag team. They had the good run last with the tag titles and everything, winning them at WrestleMania. Thought it was great. But I think when they were like champs for a bit, I'm like, it's kind of run its course. And I'm glad they're finally like, at least they were the pair that made sense to be kind of traded off. So,
Yep. Absolutely. We'll see what happens there. We can move on to Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre's face-off. This was pretty good. Setting up Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre at Crown Jewel. What do you guys think about these promos going back and forth with Seth basically kind of dropping the tea leaves of a heel Drew McIntyre? Basically saying, are you plotting? Are you going to do this by yourself? saying you can't blame everybody else for your actions and all the stuff with the bloodline, to look deep down inside. And what do you guys just think about that promo back and forth between Seth Rollins and Drew?
Let me go first, Brian.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just give me the Scottish psychopath. I definitely feel like, yeah, they're definitely laying the seeds for that heel turn. And something tells me Drew's definitely going to use the Judgment Day. But I feel he'll go full heel and, like, just turn on them in some shape or form, because he's obviously not, you know, I feel like he'd use them and then be like, guys, now screw you guys, I'm going to go, you know, full-blown heel and take everybody out, because obviously Drew's like a monster of a man, you know, can handle his own. And to actually, if you kind of think about it, obviously, you know, him getting screwed so much with the bloodline and, you know, the whole thing, mm-hmm. Clash of the Castle and everything, it's like, why not even the playing field now? Like, let me use this group to my advantage and, you know, actually help me get a world title, you know, the one title that I deserve, the run that I deserve, you know, that I, you know, it's so long, you know, especially the journey he's gone to come back, establish himself. Yeah, he won the championship, but, you know, it was a different time, no crowds, wasn't as impactful, but now to be back and kind of get that back, I think would be great. Seth's had a good run. I liked his interaction, with him and Seth, because, you know, they're like, first they're all kind of like, buddy, no, I want you a good 100%, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, you're over here crying a lot. And if that's what you're going to do, you're not going to win this title. So it's like, hey, if that's true, then maybe I got to do what I got to do to get these to get this mm-hmm. title. Mm-hmm. It's definitely going to be some type of big heel turn. And I think it's well earned. It's well deserved. I think a heel Drew is very dangerous. I feel like we only got not a glimpse of it, but we've seen it, but it was more in a group setting, like with him and Dolph, you know, when he first came back and everything.
Yeah.
Him, like, champion, full-blown heel could be, like, on the status of, like, Roman heel, you know? I feel like he's a great babyface. I think he could definitely be a better heel.
The thing is that, to me, for the Drew McIntyre potential heel turn, is that it's needed. Like, he needs something, right? Like, he can't keep holding the sword and pandering to the crowd. 1, 2, 3. He needs something. Raw needs a heel. He's the perfect heel right now. It's not going to be the Judgment Day going after Seth again right now. I feel like to put the title on him would be monumental. And I think that's also going to lead to potentially a breakup in the Judgment Day with Damian Priest. Somewhere along the lines, because if Drew is going to join the Judgment Day, he's the de facto leader. He's the best guy in that group, right? Like, it's not
him and Rhea clashing heads.
That could be. I don't know if that's going to happen, because they have been chatting. They've been chatting. Wait, if Drew McIntyre joins them, he's going to be the leader.
You would think Drew should be the leader. Rhea has been on a whole nother level since she's kind of taken over as de facto leader of this group. So
we're gonna get into it, but it's like, what have we seen on Raw? Like, she has more than she can handle right now.
No, she's playing her cards.
She's in a fatal five way.
She's in a five way now.
I'm talking in the sense that, you know, she's talking to Paul Heyman. She was trying to talk to Jay. Now she's talking to Drew. Now she's kind of in this whole situation with the women's division, but that's because all these women kind of just started coming out. You got Nia Jax, you got freaking Zoe Starks coming back, you got Shayna kind of getting this little push. We're finally getting the women's division that we finally wanted on Raw.
I'm just going to say this. Who was the driving force of that all happening? Nia Jax.
Yeah. I was happy Nia's back. I was happy. That is crazy.
That is crazy to think of that. Like, she brought the women's division really together with just randomly attacking people. Yeah. Just randomly beating up people. But
can't hate on her anymore. I mean, I wasn't, but a lot of people still do. And it's just can't really hate on her from that standpoint.
No, she's
come back. She's played her role really right. But
you know, the one thing that I loved about this stuff, face-to-face with Seth and Drew, you see it with their backstage segments, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll have like your typical interview and then like you'll have something going on in the background that like people aren't paying attention to.
Yeah.
Later on, it'll be on social media. Like, look at this in the background. I love the fact that they actually Seth used it Seth used that to attack Drew with it.
Yeah.
Because it kind of like makes you as a fan now, like when you're watching this backstage stuff, like pay attention because you never know. You might see something because you might see Easter eggs
that's
gonna be applied to it. That's going to be like applied later on, whether it's next week or later on in the show. So I love that they focused on that. But like Lewis said, it's time for the Scottish Psychopath to make a return. He's been a babyface for a number of years right now. Daniel mentioned the loss at Clash of the Castle. I mean, realistically, since he lost that match, I mean, Drew hasn't really been as hot as he was. Like, it's like every month he started to slowly dissipate, and now he's starting to heat back up now since he started showing some of these heel tendencies. You know, not helping
people. He's just not saving everybody.
He has this is the thing. He's minding his business. Everybody watched him get his ass kicked for fucking years. Like,
nobody ran out to say,
like, I'm sorry, I'll be a heel too.
I'm thinking about
everybody. I'll be kicking ass too.
All times I can get some bloodline by myself. Where were you motherfuckers running out to help me?
And that's another thing too. Now Seth Rollins is like, you're blaming everybody else for your problems. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Cause I had to hold this shit down by myself. I wasn't getting no help.
I think that's the thing though. Is they were like, you were the Seth
and KO running out helping you,
and you're not doing your baby face duties. And he's like, well, maybe I don't want to be a baby face no more. And I feel like this is where the wheels are turning. It's like, nah, I don't need to be in that channel. I don't gotta save Kofi every time he's getting his ass beat.
I'm just gonna say this. When that heel turn finally happens, I'm gonna be like, he's right.
The Joker's right.
usually when heels happen and stuff like that, it's usually selfish reasons or jealousy or something of that nature. But in this, looking at this, it's like he's right. He should be. Like, fuck all y'all.
The Joker makes sense.
I was literally fighting 4-on-1 going up against the Bloodline for like months, and they took my title. I couldn't get a shot. I was getting cheated. I try to team up with Sheamus. That didn't work. Like, nah. Like, where's Sheamus? Like, Sheamus hasn't been around. I don't know if he's hurt or not, but
he's hurt.
Yeah. I think he's injured. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like all this stuff. Like, the Brawling Brutes didn't join up with me. Like I've been battling on my own for years. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, hey, why didn't you help me? You kidding me?
That's hilarious when you think about it.
Literally, usually the heel is usually selfish or jealousy reasons, but it's like if he turns heel, it's like I don't know if we're gonna have a tweener.
He was kind of supposed to.
yeah. I don't know if we're gonna have a tweener Drew where he's going back babyface and heel and playing all these minds. Maybe that's a different element of a title, a champion that could work. I thought Seth could have probably did that, probably been a tweener as a heel and a babyface, depending on what he was doing, but. Yeah, Drew, he needs to turn heel. Screw that. If he wins the Judgment Day, I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. But I do think he's going to be the leader because I'm like, out of all those guys, he has the most, I just don't see. If he joins the Judgment Day, he's the leader. I don't think Rhea unless it's some type of power trip with him and Rhea and stuff like that and they just run shit, but it's just like, I don't see him doing that. Like, Drew is like done with listening to people. People tell him.
Yeah, this is why I don't know how the whole him being. I feel like he'll use the Judgment Day and kind of toss them aside. Or it'll be something where he's like, "All right, I'm in, but you got to get rid of Priest, or Priest is over here, like going against everything. He thinks he's the shit because he has money in the bank. I feel like Priest kind of needs to break away from the Judgment Day at some point, because it's like, if he doesn't, I think we're all going to see that that cash-in is not going to happen. And I think at this point, it's honestly looking like that, because it doesn't look like it's a factor. And yes, he's still in the main event. Yes, he's still... I would love to see him, but I don't know. And maybe different... Like, if the Judgment Day is where it is now, and then they have, like, a shit ton of momentum, and then, boom, he gets the title... Yes,
maybe it's a way to get back at the Judgment Day, right? Maybe they kick him out or whatever the case may be. Drew is champion, he cashes in on Drew, and that starts their little feud, right? Like, maybe that's a way they can do it. I'll be interested in that, but maybe it's just a way that Seth doesn't get cashed in on or whatever the case. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
I'm very curious to see what they're going to do. Either they're going to fumble that Money in the Bank contract, or it's just going to annihilate.
Or maybe we get a cash in.
Or maybe Rhea is using Drew to get the title off of Seth. Therefore, setting up the cash in with the
title on Dom.
Get Dom the title. That's her plan. Yeah. Mommy has a plan for her man.
They'll both be champs, I guess.
Nah, but I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm definitely looking forward to a heel Drew McIntyre. Hopefully, we get that. Seth, I just feel like Seth, his run has been good, but he's got to lose at some point. Like, I don't know if he's going to carry the title. WrestleMania. I'm like, if you're gonna, you can't have both of these titles just have long reigns to WrestleMania. You can't. And I don't see Roman losing. And if there's a right guy, we thought it was Shinsuke. It wasn't Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre. It's like, all right, you got past Shinsuke in the last match. Drew McIntyre should destroy you. I'm just gonna be on. Like, there's no way you come out of this. Like, and the whole thing with Adam Pearce saying he's been running. Seth Rollins has been running kind of hard, kind of being hard-headed, just kind of going forward and doesn't know any other way. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's got to come to a head at some point. There's a reason why they're saying that. So hopefully this leads to a Drew winning the damn title. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. We can get into our next segment here on Raw here. We have Bronson Reed's great effort, great match with Gunther. Man, Lewis has been saying for months now, ever since he's been drafted to Raw, that he hopes they do something with Bronson Reed. He hopes they put him in some type of IC title picture. And it took, 6 months? But that was a hell of a match with Gunther. First of all, kudos to Bronson Reed, because...
Yeah.
He has good matches and stuff like that. He does everything well. But that was the first time at least in WWE, that we've really seen him go to that level. And especially across from Gunther in a hard-hitting affair was epic to see. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, well, like I said in the chat, this is his best match on the main roster since he's been on the main roster. I know he had a couple of bangers in NXT.
Yep.
I remember one specifically where he won the North American Championship. I forget what match that was, but it was one of his great best matches then.
What did he beat? But, I don't even remember.
I forget who he beat for it, but it was a good showing. I remember that much. But
it's about time with
Bronson Reed. I always felt that for the longest time that like they almost booked him like they didn't know what to do with him. That like they wanted him to be obviously a strong and dominant heel. But then you look around you, you got Gunther as Intercontinental Champion, you got Roman as world champion. So some of your top champions are already heels. So it's like where do you really go to there with a character like his, but then we realized like this is Triple H booking, and the fact that he put two heels in Gunther and Bronson Reed in a Continental title match, mm-hmm. says a lot. I know that as far as crowd participation goes, initially the crowd wasn't with this match because they
where were they?
Exactly. They weren't with it because they're not behind either guy. I mean,
no, I said where were they?
What was the big splashes? I feel like you heard.
They were in Oklahoma, weren't they? Tulsa,
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, yeah. So they went Oklahoma City.
I thought they would have got a crazy reaction. Like, it was quiet.
Oklahoma City is not one of those big wrestling towns. I don't think.
I'm just saying, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Jim Ross is from there.
Tulsa, Oklahoma was loud for Roman. I know there's levels.
I guess Tulsa, Oklahoma City. I guess
that was a great match. That was a great match.
The crowd just wasn't with it because they didn't know who to get behind because they don't like either guy or the booking has been telling you not to like either guy, so they don't know who they get behind. But it was a great match. It was a great showing. Definitely some brownie points to a Bronson Reed for his performance. Mm-hmm. And as far as Gunther goes, they alluded to it in a backstage segment between Alpha Academy and the New Day of Chad Gable. And at this point, I think it really does need to be him. Yeah, this is our.
Yo, why?
This is hilarious.
So entertaining.
I'm gonna just say one thing. I remember when they put Tozawa in that ninja outfit, and I was just like, how does this guy still want to be with this company? They're literally stereotyping the shit out of him, having him doing all this humiliating and embarrassing stuff. Why the hell is he still hitting this with this company? But he literally does make the most out of he gets. And he ends up being the highlight of the segment. I remember that whole 24/7 title nonsense that was going on that we shitted on.
Yeah.
Tozawa was like the comedy portion of it, and he really does take he takes the shit and turns it into gold. So we gotta give props to Tozawa.
That segment, I don't know why I was captivated. I was like, what is this man doing? And then just deliberately, like,
exactly.
I was like, yo,
he's hilarious. He's hilarious. He's hilarious.
Back to this match. Yeah, this match was great. Like I said, Bronson Reed has it. This man is this generation's Bam Bam Bigelow. Like, that tsunami splash is a thing of fucking beauty. And he does it so – he doesn't even, like, stand over. He climbs to the top, just takes a step. And just flies right on top of you. I'm like, yeah.
You should see how it looks live. Cause I remember in Rhode Island when he did it during Raw live. Oh my God.
it looks like
devastating when he's coming off the top.
And the fact that he just straight up pulled out a superplex,
I thought he was just going to push him off, and that's what they were going to do. And then Gunther,
he had both feet on the top rope. I was like, oh, sir.
Man, I'm like, they're going to break the ring. I'm like,
that's exactly what I was about to say, Dan. Yeah. The ring was going to break, and it was going to end in a no contest.
Oh, man. But, and you know what's funny? A small part of me was like, they could give this to him. I mean, like, the record's been broken. This could be a big, shocking moment. But I think this is the really entertaining thing about Gunther is that he beats a lot of these guys clean.
Yeah.
Tampa, him, fucking Chad Gable. Like, he beats these guys clean. He has Imperium, but he doesn't even need them majority of the time. Unless it's like... He's like, and I think that's what alludes to a lot of like Triple H's booking, because NXT, there were not a lot of interferences. If you look at a lot of the takeovers of the main big matches, it was like this person clearly won, you know? I think that's what is like really will always show like who's the better wrestler. It doesn't always have to be bullshit like Judgment Day coming to help and blah, blah, blah. And yes, it helps the story and everything, and obviously you're gonna have more power with a faction, but it's just like for Gunther to legit have a faction and still beat people clean, it's like that's another way of doing things. And it just also shows how good you are at the same time. Yeah.
That, I think that's the main thing. It shows how dominant he is and how he does the, and out of all the groups, he does it clean. He keeps his troops in line for the longest time. Mm-hmm. He holds them accountable. Like he's the guy right now, and I just don't know whoever beats him. Kind of similar to what you guys have been saying with Becky Lynch and NXT. Whoever beats him is going to be monumental because we've seen Bronson Reed get in the ring, and it's like we've seen Bronson Reed actually earn his respect after the match, right? Chad Gable has been a thorn in his side. We thought we were going to get Tommaso Ciampa in that role at some point, but nah. So at least Chad Gable and Bronson Reed are right there. Whoever beats him is going to get a crazy rub from Gunther, and it's just like it just speaks to his reign, how dominant he's been.
Maybe it could be Cody.
Oh, no.
He's got nothing to do.
No.
Just like tag titles. He's not going to SmackDown.
Give that to Jay. Give that to Jay. Give him something to do.
Hey, I wouldn't be mad at that either. But I don't see Jay beating Gunther. I think because I guess they're both baby faces, but yay.
My whole thing is once Gunther loses that title, he has to go in the main event scene. I don't know if they're, and this is where the thing with Drew McIntyre gets interesting, because what if he doesn't turn heel? And he gets a run a little bit. I don't know what they're gonna do. There's a lot of options that they can do.
Yeah, like, I think that's a tough thing because it's like, all right, we know there might be leading to. Well, no, yeah, they got Drew going now against Seth, and it's like, well, then there's Gunther. So then it's like, who's gonna be the baby face? Does Drew lose again? And now you got Seth going against Gunther, which easily could be a banger, but it's just like.
That's got to be the end of if he somehow gets past Drew and then faces Gunther.
That's mandatory. That's mandatory. No, whenever we get that Gunther versus Seth, assuming that we get it for the title, no, that's a mandatory win for Gunther. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. There's no storyline. There's no interference. There's no quick roll up or anything like that. No, it has to be Gunther beats Seth. Period, and becomes world champion.
give me Gunther versus Sammy.
That's probably gonna be your WrestleMania match for the world heavyweight title. That's probably what they've already brainstormed. Let's get Gunther and Seth at WrestleMania.
Like Dan just said, this is the hard part because like now but, I'm like also stacked.
But if you that's the crazy thing. But if you do that WrestleMania,
out of nowhere,
it's that. And you got Cody and Roman, and we already know how we want that match to end. I mean, do you really want both of your world champions even on separate nights to essentially have their long range per se ended?
Because if both those reigns end, it kind of ushers in that new era, right? Like it gives, I'm pretty sure when Roman loses, if Seth loses, whatever the case may be, they're going to go on a break a little bit because if anybody deserves it, it's those two guys right now. It's like they carried it as far as they could for a long time.
I really hope that Seth doesn't carry the title to WrestleMania because I think it's I'm not saying his title reign has run its course, but I think like after the I don't know the whole Shinsuke thing, the whole bad back thing, it's like you can't just like oh he's healed. It's like no, he's been a week. It's been like 2 weeks.
Who said it? Someone said it this week that he didn't even sell the injury or anything like that.
No, he didn't.
He came back since
Fastlane.
Yeah,
the Monday after wasn't selling. He's been doing this.
I don't know why they don't do that anymore. Like they used to wrap the knee when it messed up.
Yeah.
Like come on.
They used to wrap everything
because they're a new generation of athletes that heal faster.
It's black tape now.
Sticky tapes.
But this is what I mean. It's like I don't know. Part of me wants him to like lose the title now. So it's like, all right, you can have all these other feuds. Okay, let's say Drew wins. It's like then you get Drew to fucking go against. But it's like I think that's the hard part. So you don't want just a bunch of like heel versus heels, and then people don't know who to cheer for. It's like you kind of need that whole babyface heel combo. And that's why I was like, okay, if like Gunther wins, but it's like beats him for the title, it's like, so what? You're leaving Drew blowing in the wind again, and then we get like Sammy in the mix. So that's why my head was going, it's like, oh, you can do that easily for like a WrestleMania match. Like, I think that'd be fire. But it's like, would you want Gunther winning on a bigger stage? I feel like he kind of has earned that. So
this
it's
is
like,
where this is where I kind of like on.
There's a lot of ways it can go.
Yeah, with a lot of ways they can go, because they are going to Australia in February.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need an international guy to be the champion. So that's what I've been thinking a lot. Like, is it going to be Gunther at that point in time? Is it going to be Drew carrying the title into Australia, Perth, even though he's from, what?
Scotland.
But just to have
that, the side of the world.
Yeah, just to have that international flavor. Obviously, that's a Rhea Ripley event. That's pretty much stamped. Isn't Bronson Reed from Australia?
Yeah.
So
I believe so. Either there or New Zealand,
or yeah, close, one of them.
I think New Zealand, but like
just like Blackwater or something.
Oh, actually, if it's New Zealand, then he's gonna get booed.
So don't give him the title, guys. Yeah, exactly. Don't give him the title. Don't give him the title if he goes to February. But no, nah, it's just. Yeah. But yeah, just think that's where I'm like, they usually try to. We've seen it with Jinder Mahal when they started going to India and stuff like that. So
he's coming back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we did get an Indus Share appearance.
That was a Jinder sighting.
Yeah, we did get a Jinder Indus Share sighting.
Maybe he makes the match between Drew and Seth a triple threat match, and he gets in there.
Hey, that's another tag team right there, Indus Share.
I think they have to be setting up that tag team division. Like,
come on, please. I've never wanted a tag team championship so bad, and I used to not even. I mean. I think NXT definitely changed my perspective on tag teams, but it's just like for a while, I honestly didn't really care who was the tag champs. I was like, there was so many makeshift tag teams at one point. It was just like, okay, cool. Give them that, whatever, whoever wins it.
It's
like,
time. It's time. Come on, WWE.
Please.
Even with the women's tag team division, Chelsea Green was saying that they think they need new straps or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, they know, and they've been planting the tea leaves. It's like, come on, guys, somebody create a belt.
If y'all do that and don't do it for the men, y'all just slapping the tag division in the face.
It's like, create a belt already. Make it happen. Yeah. More from WWE Premier Week. We had the return of Pretty Diddly. I forgot the guy's name. I never remember his name. But he was the guy that got hurt by
Elton Prince.
Yeah. He hurt his shoulder. He's back. They feint the injury in that match, picking up the win, cheating to win. So he's back. We had the Carlito get attacked by Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, which is interesting because obviously we're going to get the LWO angle versus the Street Profits again. Hopefully, I believe we have Santos Escobar facing. Is it Montez Ford?
Yeah, Montez Ford
on the next week's SmackDown. So we're going to be getting that. We have the Fatal 5-Way match set up after a match between Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler, which was really hard hitting early on. Mm-hmm. Nia Jax came out, then Raquel Rodriguez, and then Zoe Stark. That set up a 5-Way match heading in for Crown Jewel. So I'm intrigued by that match because it's like Rhea Ripley's going to somehow get out of that. Because now it's Nia Jax, it's Raquel Rodriguez, it's Shayna Baszler. Like, all these people are threats to her. Zoe Stark is thrown in there as well. So, definitely going to be interesting to see that match happen at Crown Jewel. I'm trying to think of what else happened there.
We got a Xia Li sighting.
Xia Li. Xia Li targeting Becky Lynch for the NXT title. So, that's going to be interesting.
They also announced that on Raw next week we're going to get Indy Hartwell challenging Becky Lynch for the NXT title, the title that she actually never lost. So that's going to be interesting.
The way. It's interesting because I never really saw her really. I saw a couple matches with her, but it's like I've never really seen her really, really go, go, go.
Same.
So Her career trajectory has been kind of like shaky. Especially you can even say like the highlight of her career was the damn wedding segment that they did on NXT 2.0.
It's Dexter Lumis. Dexter.
Highlight of her run.
Is he gone? Is Dexter gone?
Lumis? That's a good question. I don't think he's gone.
I think they just don't know what to do with him.
Hold on. Let me look this up.
I could have sworn I saw something where like they were like they saw Dexter at like some other promotion or something or whatever, and I was like, wait, I didn't know he left. But I don't know. It could have been somebody else.
He's still signed there.
Still listed as in the roster.
Yeah, he's still listed as on the roster. Yeah.
Just bring him back with the way and stuff.
Twitter is at Dexter WWE. Instagram is at Dexter WWE. So yeah, he's still with the company.
Just bring back the way. Indeed, like give them all something to do.
No, we got DIY right now.
No, yeah, but I'm just saying, have them be a part of that. Like obviously it's DIY, but you could bring back Candice LeRae and
they need to do something with Candice. They
just put them in a tag team. That's the tag team, and have them be. Yeah,
put her in the tag team because honestly, I think we're about to get into it in the next topic. The women's division is heating up. And,
yes, it is.
Why not? Because I don't really remember anything else from Premier Week other than the stuff that we discussed there. So we can change topics here. Jade Cargill making numerous appearances on all three brands. SmackDown, after getting an interaction with Charlotte, which is probably the biggest match on paper that they can make outside of her and Bianca, I think. But that interaction with Charlotte, seeing those two on the screen, I instantly took a picture. I believe I sent it in the chat, and I was just like, yo, like that is a match that would be epic. And just as a newcomer and stuff like that, introducing her to the roster, that will be crazy. What do you guys think about that? Her appearance on SmackDown first.
Why not her and Becky, your favorite?
Nah. She made her appearance on NXT last night via video, and she was doing this.
That Dame Time shit, yeah.
So that had me thinking that it's going to be NXT Deadline. That's what had me thinking that maybe she's going to make her appearance there. I think that's in December. So I don't know how they're going to stretch that out until then. Maybe they can figure out a way, but it's like she's doing the clock. Deadline's usually the time when they do that reverse beat the clock challenge.
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe that's where she makes her appearance. She did cross paths with Becky Lynch on
I think it was on Raw.
That's two Becky Lynch segments because that was basically alluding to the title match between is it Ira Valkyrie versus Becky Lynch?
Next week. What?
Yeah.
Tyra Valkyrie. There we go.
Yep.
So getting that match next week on NXT.
Oh, guys, no, Lyra. Tyra Valkyrie is in AEW. So
yeah.
Seeing how that play out, that is two Becky Lynch segments. So that has me thinking maybe something's happening there where she's going to take on Becky. But that interaction with her and Charlotte on SmackDown, you can definitely just tell the star power on the screen. I was just like, oh my God.
Here's another thing. We talked about it with Nick Aldis appeared on screen. I mean, wasn't really much of a reaction. I mean, Jade has been getting a pop every time she appears on the screen. So the fans they know her, and if they don't know her, when they see her, they think, oh yo, she's a star. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she looked like money, and obviously she's with Charlotte, so obviously you know she's somebody that we need to pay attention to. And I think that was their hope when they initially signed her. I mean, we talked about the initial signing about her. You know, like I said, she's money. She has the look. She has the charisma. Only thing that she had to tighten up on was on the in-ring stuff, which I'm assuming she's been working on daily since she got signed. So And
if she is going to face Charlotte, she should be training with Charlotte every day. That's the first thing I'm going to say, because Charlotte really, well, Charlotte's still wrestling, but I'm just saying in general, she, or maybe that's where Bianca Belair has been for the past since SummerSlam. But whatever the case may be, if they want her to take that next jump, she needs to be training with those girls. That's all I'm saying. If she's training with Charlotte and she's training with Bianca, we're going to get some banging matches.
What's the name of that? I'm trying to think of the female trainer that works down in NXT. I think her name is like Sarah D'Amato. I think whoever her name is, she trained all of them. Becky Lynch, Charlotte when she was very green. Sasha Banks, all of them. She's worked with all of them, so she's still the head trainer. And Jade's working with her.
She's gonna be in good hands. But just her making all the appearances. Obviously, you see the star power of her on screen. And I just don't know what they're doing with the teasing. As I said, I thought NXT probably would have been the perfect place for her. But now you see her crossing on to Raw and SmackDown, and the fans acknowledge her. They know who she is. It's like, okay, I can see her going there. But it's like, as I said, they should set her up for the Rumble and then have her just randomly show up on any program challenging for the title. I feel like that probably is the best option now looking at it. But it's like, now they're showing her on TV a lot. I don't think they can prolong her not being on TV.
I don't think
they can do that. If they announced the signing and didn't show her on TV, or maybe they just did that first NXT thing and then just had her off TV for a little bit, maybe they could have done that. But now that she's getting that strong reaction from the crowd, I don't think they can keep her off TV.
I'm really curious who her first opponent's going to be.
Yeah. I wonder if the initial plan was the Rumble, but then ESPN fucked it up when they released the news that she had officially signed.
No, I guarantee they got it.
They wanted to do that because that was from WWE telling ESPN. They wanted that. That was a strategic move to say, fuck you, AEW. Look what we did. That's what that was.
I mean, as we saw last week, I don't think they need to be thinking about AEW anymore because the competition's owner is already taking care of all that for them right now.
Melting down as we speak. But just for Jade, it's just like, it's going to be interesting to see who her first opponent is. And I don't know if they're going to debut her and have her take a loss. Like, if she was going to face Charlotte.
No, they can't.
Is she going to beat Charlotte clean? If she was facing her?
I don't think Charlotte will be her first opponent.
So who is she going to beat clean?
Anybody in the division.
So her first feud is with a female Big Show?
They'll give her like a good, they'll probably give her like the big superstar, like the big monster push where like she's just squashing people. She could squash
Why, in my opinion, she shouldn't be on Monday Night Raw, because there's already a heel over there doing that. That's Nia Jax. So that's why I didn't want her.
I'm trying to think who could she squash on SmackDown? You got Natalya, you got freaking Nikki Cross, who apparently still works there. You got
apparently still works.
You can't I'm just gonna say this. The way they packaged her, they can't debut her like that. They can't.
Because squashing somebody? Why not? They've done that for years.
She's too big of a deal. The way they're promoting her and having her do all that
stuff. Come out and beat somebody big on her first night. And if it is, it would have to be for the title. Like what, like a Paige treatment?
Unless, right after that squash, she got on the mic and was just like, this wasn't what my debut was supposed to be. This is what you guys give me. This is what WWE is.
And yeah, like, exactly.
That's like that promo to kind of like let the people know, like, this is who I am. I deserve better than this.
I'm just saying, I don't know how they're gonna book her, because it's like, unless she's, I just don't know who she's beating. If you're debuting her, she can't lose.
No,
definitely not. No.
She's gonna squash somebody for easily.
You can't have a streak like they did in AEW for her.
No,
because they'll just
be like, you can do a short streak. Like, she gets a good like
10 wins,
five, six like wins, and then boom. Yeah, she'll still win, but like until she gets in a feud where she like loses, it's like I feel like she should just constantly keep winning until they get to that point.
Mm. I just don't know what they're gonna do with her.
Exactly.
It's interesting. They already know what they're gonna do, but it's just interesting to see what they're going to do with her. Because it's like, I just don't think she can lose. She can't lose.
Like that's all. No, definitely not on our first match.
Like if she challenges Becky Lynch, she can't lose. That's all I'm saying. She has to beat the man. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I think we initially predicted that when she first signed. I mean, we were thinking that they were gonna put her in the breakout tournament and that she was gonna go after Becky.
Yeah. That's what we're
gonna do. But now look at the breakout tournament. Yeah, she's bigger than the breakout tournament.
Yeah, she is. She is. So we don't know, man. Definitely interesting to see where everything's going right now because
Roll of Ice.
Yeah. Most definitely. She definitely
it needs to be her. It can't be anybody else. Especially after the match I saw with Ariana Grace and the other girl. I'm like, it has to be Lola Vice. I
mean, yeah, it looks like she's.
If they're smart, it has to be Lola Vice.
She's clear cut gonna win. But it's just a lot of directions that they can go with. The Judgment Day is hot right now. The Bloodline's back in full effect. We're gonna see what happens with Drew. We're gonna see what happens with Gunther. Like WWE right now has as much as we
have a lot of options.
Yeah, as much as we complain about, hey, what are they doing? They got a lot of options, and they got us wondering what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, I have to ask you about something because I think you commented on it in the chat. Mm-hmm. It was about NXT last night. The promo that they did for Lexus King or Brian, aka formerly known as Brian Pillman Jr. Were you not a fan of it, or what was your thoughts about that?
My thing is, why are they doing that to him? He's Brian Pillman's son.
What did they do?
They changed his name.
I mean, in this case, I can get with it because it kind of fits the story, right? Because even though he is Pillman's son, like he said, he didn't really know he didn't really know him. I mean,
when he said in the promo, he's like, I lost him when I was like
four. He died when he was like four years old. Which, according to Dark Side of the Ring, is legit.
He was raised
by somebody else. I can get with that. I mean, I don't know about the name Lexus King. I mean, it'll take a while for me to catch on, but.
Let's go, Lexus.
As far as the character work he's been showing in these promos so far, it is 100 times better than the crap he was doing in AEW.
When
he really was trying to be another version of his dad, being in a tag team called the Varsity Blondes.
Varsity Blondes.
Hollywood Blondes that his dad was in with Stone Cold. AEW, they pretty much were trying to make him another version of his father. At least WWE is trying something different. So,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, they're actually going to give him some
names. It's going to take a while to catch on.
Maybe that environment's gonna do him well.
Yeah, for sure.
NXT and stuff like that. That's gonna do him well down there. But speaking as for NXT, just in general, with Trick Williams is still hot down there.
Very hot.
They had he was supposed to be in the Fatal 4-Way, but it got taken out, and I think that's gonna lead to a Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes feud.
All right, I have a question. Another question. Mm-hmm. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes, that feud. Is it going to be as good as Gargano and Ciampa?
No.
It has to be a huge type turn and like bad blood.
Because I think they're already planting the seeds because Carmelo's all kind of like, yo, what are you doing, man? It's my time to get those title shots and stuff like that.
Trick wants his shot now, too.
Yeah. But we are getting Dragunov versus Carmelo 3. But little tea leaves are dropped there because they've been kind of going at it, and Trick has been like, yo, you've been saying that you're going to go after the title, and I got the North American title. But he's like, yo, it's my time. And he did say, hey, I was where you were a year ago. Yeah. Like we're both trying to make it. But I feel like little tea leaves, Carmelo Hayes had a black leather jacket. And that had me thinking about the barbershop scene with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Shawn Michaels had the black leather jacket, and he threw Marty Jannetty through the glass. So I just already think like they're already having little seeds of that heel turn, and hopefully it comes out really good. And now we're going to see Carmelo back as a heel, I think, potentially as we get closer to Halloween Havoc. I don't know if he's going to win back the title.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so because Ilya Dragunov, I think they need to have him, especially with what he's done in the UK and stuff like that. I feel like they need to have him have a run.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that's going to set up Trick versus Carmelo and set up that type of feud going in probably until, what is their Mania, Stand and Deliver? Mm-hmm. hopefully they carry it until then, because it's like, this is going to be telling, because one, we're going to get a different element of Carmelo Hayes now. And this is pretty much like a test now to see if if Trick Williams can hang. And a good hand and a good test to do that with is with Carmelo Hayes. So I'm very intrigued to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else, guys, on the docket?
Oh, I mean,
no AEW news. I'm just gonna say this about AEW. Whenever I check YouTube for clips and stuff like that with Edge and stuff like that, they're over a million. So I'm like, people are checking in to see what Edge is doing still.
Yeah,
but they don't want to watch the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if that translates to the rest of their wrestling, like their programming. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, and especially what they've been doing, I feel like they just swapped out CM Punk for Edge, and he's teaming with FTR and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know
what's going on. It was, yeah. I mean,
they're also still watching MJF and stuff too.
I'll say that again.
I said they're also still watching MJF too.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just like
red hot right now.
Yeah, like those two guys. And I'm just like, I don't know if that translates to the rest of their program. Of course, we like what they're doing with Tony Storm and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like that's the one thing I noticed, because I was on YouTube and I'm like, yo, these Edge clips are still hitting over a minute. Like, they're getting a lot of eyes on them.
Yeah.
So it's like they got something there. They just have to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they do. But yeah, WWE's hot right now. AEW's trying to find their footing. We're hoping that there's a lot of options that WWE can go with their direction of a lot of things. We'll see how that plays out. Crown Jewel is on November 4th. So that's what, 2 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to do picks for that. That's like a house show, but
when they first started doing Crown Jewel and going over to Saudi, it was
a house show.
But now they've incorporated it into their storytelling.
So are we doing picks for Crown Jewel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're doing picks for Crown
Jewel. What are the numbers, Dan?
I gotta write them down. Because I didn't, I wrote it down on a sheet of paper.
Who has the most correct predictions, though?
I believe you do, but hey, I think Brian gained on you.
No,
I think Brian gained on at least by a little bit, because we picked Shinsuke to win, and he got Seth. That was the thing.
Look, all I know for sure is that me and Lewis are above 500. That's all I know.
Hey. Hey, there's still a second half to the season.
Drink my tea. Yeah.
We got. Well, there's a second half to the season. There's still time. I still have multiple pay-per-views. I mean, I would probably have to throw NXT. I would probably have to throw NXT pay-per-views in there to catch up.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I think it's just between you and Brian at this point. I don't.
Don't give up.
I mean, if I could put on some type of run to make these picks, man.
If we all had the time to like watch NXT every Tuesday, then maybe we could do that. But
nah, I know
it's a lot.
Too hard.
Yeah, I know it's a lot.
I'll have to throw AEW pay-per-views in there. Like, yeah, right. that would probably be the way I have to catch up, because that's the most randomest shit where I can actually just be like, all right, I'm just going to pick this guy, pick that guy. And then see what happens. But my thing turned off. Shit. All right, but guys, I'm going to wrap this one up. As always, thank you guys for joining me on this episode of Ring Takes as we continue on the road to what? What are we going to say? Survivor Series?
Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewel, I guess. Oh, God. More picks. But all right, guys. Thank you guys for joining me as always. Send off now. One, two, three. All right, guys.